My name is William Amari, and my father, Jerry, was born and raised in a very strict household, and all his life he was told by his father that he was going to graduate out of med school and become a doctor. But my dad, who struggled in school, had a different idea. Here's his story. Where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up on Staten Island, New York, and it was a kind of a nice place. That's where I grew up.
So you liked where you live?
It was okay. It was very suburban. Technically, it was actually part of New York City, but it was a little more suburban than the rest of the city.
Would you consider yourself, growing up, would you consider yourself rich, poor, middle class?
Well, we were not rich, but we were not poor, so I guess that leaves middle class. We were probably upper middle class. My father was a doctor, and although when I was very young we were pretty poor, because he came from a poor family, but, you know, physicians have they make a pretty good living. And as I grew up, his income grew. And so I guess we would be considered, by today's standards, middle class, upper middle class.
But do you think this had an effect on your childhood in any way?
Well, I think I was able, because we were not, living in abject poverty, we were able to experience a lot of things that, many children, in New York City, couldn't experience. We went on regular vacations. We were able to, we had all the books we wanted. We had a color TV set. We had a lot of things that a lot of people didn't have back in the early 60s and 70s.
Now, you mentioned your father a couple times. What was he like?
He was very, very strict. He could be, he was very handsome, very good looking, very strict. He worked very hard to get himself through medical school, so he expected everybody else to work as hard as he did. And he was a very hard-working man. But he was also, he was a fairly kind person,
So why do you think he was so strict or hardworking?
Well, I think it just because he expected a lot of himself, and so he expected a lot of other people, and he expected everybody to put in a little extra, not just get a job done, but do it really as best you can.
So did you have a good relationship with your father?
I would say I did. I would say until I was maybe in high school in high school there were some bumps there, and right after college there were some bumps.
So one thing I forgot, but do you have any siblings? Do you have any siblings?
Oh yeah, I have an older sister named Tina, and I have a younger brother named Thomas, and our baby brother is William. Is Richard. And Richard, however, is now, I guess, Richard is now 50 years old.
Did you go to church or Sunday school?
Yeah, when I was very young, I was raised Catholic, a Roman Catholic, and we had a church, the first church I went to, they actually spoke Latin. They did not speak English in the church. And so we had to learn some of the Latin phrases. And we went to what they called released time, which was Wednesday afternoons. You left school at about 1 o'clock and you went to the Catholic church and you learned. That was like our Sunday school. But then on Sunday, we had to go to church, and all the children sat right up front in the pews, right up front in the church. Girls on one side with the nuns, boys on the other side with some of the priests or the brothers.
So you had a really religious background, really religious.
You know, to be honest with you, it was very religious as far as church was concerned, but when we were at a church, we were at a church, and it was not, you know, it was Sunday and Wednesday afternoon. That was the religious times. Then Good Friday, we didn't eat meat, and Fridays during Lent, which is right now, as a matter of fact, we did not eat meat. That's where the tradition of a fish Friday right. comes from.
So did you enjoy it, though?
Did I enjoy what?
Did you enjoy going to church? Did you
no,
enjoy
no,
Sunday
I, no,
school?
I did not. I did not. No, not at all.
Did you enjoy, like, learning Latin? None of nothing?
No, no. It wasn't until later when I was in high school when we had what they called CCD, which was when the younger high school kids got together on a Wednesday night, no right. longer in the afternoon. We got together on Wednesday night, and we all got together, and we had, like, a little club, and we... You know, we talked about religious things, and but it was more about meeting other people my age, and it was more about a social thing than anything else. So we kind of liked it because of that. At the time, I was also teaching myself how to play the guitar, and in these CCD groups, I met two or three other people who were also singers or songwriters or musicians, and so I kind of connected with them, and I still play. We later on in life, we made our own bands, and we, you know, to this day, whenever we get together, we play music.
Did your father like you playing guitar?
He didn't mind it, but he, after a while, he didn't like it because he felt that it was distracting me from my school and my work, okay. and that, he used to say, school is primary. That is the primary thing you have to do. Forget about the guitar. But I couldn't because I loved playing so much. It was part right. of what I did. That and photography was what I was good at. I mean, those were the things that I really loved in life.
So how was school for you, like overall school?
Not that great. I don't think I was a very good student. I never got in trouble or anything, and I never failed any classes. I didn't really care for it. And I think one of the reasons was that, you know, going to the New York City public schools at the time was very difficult. They were severely underfunded. And this was the time of the New York fiscal crisis, which nobody really remembers, but we basically had no money for schools, and so we had to triple up classes, and kids did not, that meant two-thirds of the kids didn't get desks. We got lunch trays, and we had to either sit on the floor or sit on the windowsills with a lunch tray as our desk. And I know that sounds Byzantine by today's standards, but this was a reality in New York in the 1970s. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in school, but like, what did you want to be when you grew up? Like when you were growing up?
Well, I guess when I was in high school, I always thought about, you know, being a musician, that would be a really cool thing. And writing songs, being in a band. When I got a little older, I really started exploring photography, and I really liked photography. And I got really good at it. And because my family came from a photographic background. My mom was a photographer, and you know, we always had a lot of cameras lying around. Mm. And because I lived in a big, big old Victorian house, I was able to turn our third floor bathroom, which was a crappy bathroom, but I was able to turn that into a dark room. And, you know, by the time I was in high school, I had my own dark room with enlarger. I turned the bathtub into the place where you keep all the chemicals. And, you know, after school every day, I would go with my friend Greg Falco, and we would go out photographing, and at night we would develop film, and we would print out pictures in black and white, and those were great times. That was a really great form, a great way for somebody to express themselves. You know, this was way before the digital photography came along.
Did your dad like this?
Well, he thought it was fine. But, again, he thought that, you know, school was primary.
After struggling in school, my dad wanted to be a photographer. And even though his father disagreed with his life decision, my dad knew in his heart that photography was his true calling. Okay, so what did your father want you to be when you grew up?
Well, he had three sons, and he wanted them all to become doctors. So,
including you.
He wanted me to be a doctor, and I told him that, Dad, I'm interested in lenses and cameras, and you know. And he said, well, you can be an ophthalmologist, you know. And so, but just to appease him, I suppose, my first college experience, I went into the pre-med program, which was biology and chemistry and physics for pre-med students. And I was not very good. I spent 2 years doing that. And I knew at that point I would never be a doctor because I simply wasn't getting the grades that you needed to get in order to become a physician or get into a good medical school. So I was kind of floundering because I simply wasn't getting the grades. And it was because I was not interested.
Right.
And so that's what he wanted me to be, but that's not what I became.
So did you ever go, like, have you ever done anything that your father wouldn't approve of, even, like, in today's...
I've done a lot of things that he would not approve of. But, you know, I did want to become a photographer, and that's... I knew that I would do well doing something more creative than being a doctor. And he did not approve of anything.
Right.
That was not being a doctor.
So, why do you think you and your father were really different? What do you think?
I think it was probably our upbringing. I think our family traditionally has always been very, very creative. You know, we've always... My brother is an illustrator and a designer. My other brother was a type designer. Your Uncle Thomas actually was one of the people that helped develop graphic design tools for the computer. My sister's very creative. My mom's very creative. We were all, my grandfather was a photographer. My mom was a photographer. We've always, you know, engaged, I guess, in creative exploits. And my dad was the first scientist in the family. And that's not what I'm comfortable with. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with it. I laud scientists and I laud, you know, I can't do this kind of thing. But when I was in pre-med, I'll tell you a quick story, as long as we have time.
Yeah, we have plenty of time, don't worry.
When I was in medical school, pre-med, we had an organic chemistry final. Mm-hmm. And I didn't do very well on it. I didn't fail, but I just didn't do very well. I think I got a B or a C, probably a C. And the teacher was going over the questions afterwards, and he said, now this question, number 23A, question 23 was a gimme. This was my gift to you. And there were, at the time in this college, there was like 100 people in the class. He goes, this was my gift to you. Everyone should have gotten this one right. If you didn't get this one right, you know, maybe you should not be in this class. Maybe you're not cut out to be a physician or a biologist. Maybe you should go into the arts, or maybe you could be a good musician or an artist or something like that. You know, not that there's anything wrong with that, but you'll never be a scientist because you just don't get it if you didn't get this question right. Well, I looked down at my paper, and I got that question wrong. And that's when I knew I'm getting out of this. That summer, I distinctly remember we were vacationing on Cape Cod. And I made sure that my dad had it was in cocktail hour, I suppose. I made sure my dad had at least one scotch in him. And we were sitting out on the back porch of our house in Cape Cod. And I said, Dad, I'm not going to be a doctor. And I don't want to do this anymore because I'm just floundering. I said, I want to be a photographer. And, you know, I've heard that there comes a point in every man's life where he's got to stand up to what his father wants, and he's got to prove that he can do something bigger and better. And my dad said, okay, you want to be a photographer? You got to go to school for photography. I said, okay, then I will. He said, first, you got to find the best school in the world for photography, and then you got to get in it. And if you do that, I'll let you go. And so I applied to the Rochester Institute of Technology, and I got in. And that turned out to be infinitely harder than any pre-med program or probably medical school than you could ever get into. The freshman dropout rate was 75%.
Wow.
Could you imagine if you went to high school as a freshman in ninth grade and 75% of the students just couldn't hack it?
No,
they couldn't make it. They dropped out. Can you believe that? That's what happened in this college in my program. It was a very tough program. We had students from all over the world go there. So I got my degree, a BFA in photography from Rochester Institute of Technology. And my dad was indeed very proud of me that I was able to get in. And I actually was a Dean's List student. Can you believe this? Went from C's all the way up to Dean's List student, and I graduated cum laude.
So, nice. Congrats.
So, you know, it just shows you that if you're doing something that you really, really want to do, it doesn't matter how hard it is. If you really want to do it, you'll do it. If your heart's not into it, you're not going to do it.
So, how are this... you seem to have lived, like, you know, quite a life, and you seem to be very happy now. but it all comes down to family. How are the Thanksgivings in your...
how are the Thanksgivings? They involve a lot of food.
Well, how is your relationship with your father now?
Well, my relationship, we've had a couple of big bumps. After college, we had a couple of hiccups in our relationship. But now I would say our relationship is really, really good. I think he's a great teacher. I think he's been able to guide me through life decisions. Forget about school. We're done with school. He's now able to guide me through life decisions. He is 85 years old now, 85. Yeah. And he's in the best shape he's ever been in. He takes care of himself and, you know, he's still very coherent, and he's great to talk to, and he's a little goofy, but then again, I'm a little goofy, so we're kind of cut from the same cloth, or what do they say,
the apple doesn't fall
far from the tree, or something like that, yeah. I don't know, whatever, but, I think we get along now much better than we've ever gotten along, and I love spending time with him, and I guess all's well that ends well, but there were some bumpy times there.
My dad stood up for himself, and despite his father's judgment or concern, he followed his heart. My father and his father, aka my grandpa, now gets along very well. And every time we have family gatherings, they talk and laugh and catch up on good times. Like what my dad always says, all's well that ends well.